Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey, and welcome to the Movies Hate You show. That sounded so professional, didn't it?
It did.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You.
Movies Hate You show.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Reeve was a little bit on the loss there.
On the edge.
He was late. There. What's up with
hey,
that?
Hey, well, welcome back to the movie. Now, that would mean like we're in our second hour. It's our first hour. We're live tonight.
Bye,
live tonight, baby. The Movies Hate You show. And we want you to call in.
Do we ever?
Do
call
we ever?
Right
this,
now.
This is the week to call in. Mm-hmm. It's this week. Yep. If there's a week to call in.
If there's 1 week.
Wait, let me get my brain together. Okay, if there's a week to call in, this is. If there's one time you call in, it's
right.
This week.
Right. Now, if you mean, you, what you meant was if you can only call in once, this is the week to do it.
Right. If you're a first time caller, long time listener, as they say in the business, tonight's the night.
Or a long time caller, first time listener.
That's right.
Could be.
And why? Because we're live.
We're live.
We are live.
L-I-V-E.
Now. Like I said, Movies Hate You show, sponsored by who? Wild Eye Releasing. Find them at wildeyereleasing.com, wildeyedvd.com. And who are they?
Who are they? They're
I don't know. They're what do I know about Wild Eye Releasing?
They're a DVD company, as I understand it. Mm. They release some of the hottest...
some of the hottest independent cult and horror hits. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't say that because it's my company.
Right. Well,
and because Todd won't find us a sponsor, I figured we're going to sponsor it ourselves.
Like Hefner doesn't brag about Playboy?
Right, like Playboy TV is Playboy Channel's, Playboy Magazine's TV show.
Yeah.
This is Wild Eye's radio show.
That's right.
We just happen to be on Todd's network.
Synergy.
Now, what is our pay scale for this? What do we get? I gotta go back and report to Wild Eye that we're monetizing this.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna write down a figure, Rob, on a piece of paper here. I'm gonna push it over across the table toward you.
Okay.
And that'll get things started. Okay.
Okay. So, let's start with that. Now wait a minute. Now why are you giving me a number when the station should be giving me a number?
Todd,
do you work for Todd?
Well, that depends. Todd, I'm gonna write down a number and send it over to you as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you might.
I like that number. Monthly little retainer.
Yeah. That's daily.
Oh, that's daily.
The daily number.
But we only do a show once a week.
Trust me on this.
Oh,
you gotta trust me.
Okay.
It's
all right, Todd. We're sending you that number, and let's hope you can match it, or we might not be back next week. Huh?
Oh.
Give him a little threat in there, you know. A little, yeah. We, you know, come on, big company here, you know. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, Movies Hate You show. I'm the aforementioned Mr. Housechild, as Todd says in that great introduction. You are the man who puts the can in Cantonese, Lee Peterson.
Hello. Yay, Mr.
Hello.
Ray.
Hello. And our producer tonight is the legendary underground filmmaker. He's a producer every time we do the show.
Indefatigable.
Independent filmmaker. You might have seen his pictures. Shock to Your Brain. Eat My Guts, You Fool. Or Step on My Throat and Scoop Out My Eyes with Your Fists, Part 2.
And Steel Magnolias? Was that his too?
No.
Steel
Fisted Magnolias.
Steel Fisted Magnolias.
Yeah. Oh. Todd Sheets. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yay.
Yeah, if you don't know Todd Sheets, I mean, you know, if you go back to the VHS days, I mean, Todd Sheets. You know, you're talking Zombie Rampage, Shivers.
Todd Sheets is the man who makes Tim Ritter look like J.R. Bookwalter.
I like that. I like that.
Not sure what that means, but he gets a compliment.
I think Todd knows those guys.
I do know those guys.
And that's a compliment, right?
It is.
Anyway, forget it. He doesn't like to talk about himself, but we like to talk about him. And our All Todd review episode is coming up soon. Because we've been going through the stacks of VHS here in the Wild Eye archives. And we will get to your movies. This is a little warning. You don't know when, but it's going to happen, Todd.
Okay, why would you want to do that to some poor bastard anyway?
Well, you're the poor bastard because we'll be talking about your movies.
Exactly.
Oh, you're talking about the he goes, well, you mean the listeners.
Well, the listeners, the poor listeners.
Who's this poor bastard, then? The one listener we have? Is that what you're trying
to
say?
I'm the poor bastard, apparently.
See how he sneaks a little dig in there? We got one listener. Well, let me tell you, we got more than that. And once I give out this number, the phones are going to light up. 310-928-7857. Call in and ask us some questions about the indie film business. What else?
Anything else.
Anything. We'll take advice.
Politics.
Politics.
Affairs of the heart.
Sex talk?
Yeah.
Sexual dysfunction or something you want to talk about?
G-rated sex, though.
G-rated? Yeah. No, we can't curse or anything like that. But no, like Love Line.
Yeah, if you use kids,
like Dr. Drew, Love Line. We can do that kind of thing. We can do like a hate line.
Yeah,
movies hate you, hate line, get it?
Movies.
Do a hate line. Somebody you really want to get with, but you hate them so much you can't bring yourself to it. We'll help you through it.
Yeah, we'll help you.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Did anybody call you?
I don't like it. No, nobody's called yet. The phones are not lighting up yet.
Well,
but now, you promised us last week, you promised us a guest. Mm-hmm. Now, I was hoping to deliver this guest to our listeners.
That's
tonight.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. If, excuse me, when you were listening last week.
Yes.
At the tail end of our show, I did a tease. We call in the business a tease.
A tease? Is that what you call it?
I think that's what we call it.
All right.
About this week's show.
Yes.
And I promised you, if you'll recall, a Walking Dead cast member.
Yeah.
Real live Walking Dead cast
member. A real live dead member, yes.
Right, exactly. and you know what? It's show business, so there are snags. but I got to tell you, it's actually going to happen next week.
Not this week. Okay? Now, this isn't some kind of where you just keep dragging on the listener week after week until there's finally some payoff, right? This isn't some kind of scam. You're not pulling a scam on the listeners, are you? Because I can't have that happen on this show.
We'll see.
Because if anything, we're honest.
We are honest. We're
painfully honest. So next week you're promising this space. Now Mr. Ree is co-producing this show, so he very well might have a guest. But I have nothing to do with it.
Well, it's true. It's true. This is. I guarantee you. I'm not gonna give you a name.
Don't give a name.
I'm not gonna
give a name.
Now that would be cheap.
Next Tuesday we'll be live at 7 p.m. But the final episode of season 3 of Walking Dead would have already aired.
Correct.
So it's not like we're gonna get any kind of insight into how the season's going to end from this person. It's kind of after the fact. The smoke is cleared, and we're gonna speak to someone.
Right, and not like AMC would let them. Say, give us any spoilers anyway. I mean,
well, we don't know.
Pretty tight.
Depends who you talk to. Now, see, this is the difference between you and me. Now, I went out thinking that this might happen, and I found an actual person from The Walking Dead.
Really?
Yes. That's right. And we're going to bring them on later in the show.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Don't ask questions.
You took my.
Your idea. What's not your really your idea?
And you raised me, is what you did.
I raised you. No, you know what? I bet you. You know what? My guess might not be as high profile as your guess.
Okay.
But I went out and did a little payola, See, if you want spoilers for a show, this is what fanboys don't understand. You have to pay for them. If you want information about a show, you pay for it. And when you pay for it, you get the spoilers you want. I got season 4 stuff that you don't even know it's going to happen.
Wow.
I got all kinds of stuff. It's crazy.
Can't wait.
We're
going to
bring that. Yes. In fact, you're going to conduct the interview with this person.
I get to throw you a bone.
I'm throwing you a bone. I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to steal your thunder.
Gotcha.
I'm going to give you this Walking Dead guest. I'm just going to shut up. I'm just going to sit back. They're going to call in at a specific time during our show tonight, and you're going to talk to them.
So we might actually have spoilers then.
There might be spoilers for this week's coming finale.
Loose Lips.
Loose Lips, and there might be spoilers for season 4.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you never know, but you have to ask the right questions.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's all in the asking.
It's all in the asking. Mm-hmm. It's all in the asking price, which is what I paid to get this person to call in.
Who cares? Who cares if
the internet's a wonderful thing. I just put an ad on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. Somebody were walking dead calling, and they're going to call in.
This is exciting.
This is exciting.
If you're half as excited as I am, call.
Call in.
Us right now.
Well, don't, because maybe the walking dead person's going to call in. But if you want to call in before that, I say we can hang up on a listener to bring the guest in, right?
Right, no offense.
We got more than one call, too. Yeah, this is a professional setup.
Yeah.
So 310-928-7857. And guess who Mr. Reeves' special guest from Walking Dead will be next week. And we'll send you a free DVD.
Hey, there you go. Did you hear that? Free DVD. If you guess correctly, or just if you guess?
If you just guess.
If you guess.
Yeah. So okay. 50 people guess, 50 DVDs. We're giving them out.
All right.
Courtesy of Wild Eye Releasing.
This is it's a current member. It's a current cast member.
Current cast member. As of this past episode?
As of the past episode.
Now, is Merle considered a
still among the living.
So oh, still among so the living. Merle okay.
Would not.
But that's a spoiler. Let's not say that Merle was killed and turned into a zombie by the governor. We don't want to say that on the air in case someone has a T-voted or something and they haven't watched this past Sunday's episode. They might not know that Merle was killed and turned into a zombie.
Oh.
And Daryl had to kill
so
him.
So close your ears right now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We're going to talk about
it. We don't want to spoil that for anybody. Because Merle's a pretty popular character, and to watch him die like
he
that
was
pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't say anything.
I won't say anything. You know, that was I fell victim to the internet spoilers with that. I unfortunately knew what was going to happen, and it was through some small part my fault, I guess.
Of course.
I mean, you click on a link that says Walking Dead spoilers, but.
It
didn't say
it goes right to the spoiler.
It goes well. No, what happened? Actually, no. Actually, I looked at that. Was fine. That was very considered. There were no real spoilers. You had to actually make another click in order to get to the spoiler.
Okay.
But I went to I think Ain't It Cool News, and in the talkback section, some a-hole used the screen grab of Merle as his avatar.
Ugh.
So you couldn't. It was
idiot.
It was not even. Hey, this is a spoiler. It was just, oh, there's Merle
idiot.
A zombie.
Idiot. Well, that's the thing about fanboys is they want to spoil it. You know, we look at spoilers as a negative, but you have to understand for some fans, they look at a spoiler as they're going to spoil your day with it. Like they're using it as a weapon. It's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Just stay off the internet.
I guess so. I guess about it. Wow. Yeah. How do you stay off the internet
kind of frog
all
tonight.
The time? You know? I've had Survivor spoiled for me years ago. Not anymore. Now I don't look at the spoilers, but those Survivor fans are fanatics.
It's hard to not get caught up in that. It's hard not to click on that. It's very tempting because when you're being dragged along week by week with a current show and not something you can just watch the whole season on a box set or something, when you're being dragged like that. Very hard not to. Hey, you want to know the end of the story? That's just human nature.
Mm.
Tell me how it ends. I want to know. I want some resolution or no resolution.
Or you want to know a little bit of it, but you want to stop before that final. I mean, to me, a spoiler: a major cast member is going to get killed. That's not a spoiler. That's tantalizing. That's a little bit of
remote. I've discovered that most Walking Dead spoilers are like that. Like they'll. It's like a fake spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like saying, "Oh, cast member's going to die on Walking Dead." It's like saying, you know, there's going to be guns in the episode or something. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, there might be a zombie or two killed. Oh, really? Oh, okay. It's as much spoiler as that.
It's kind of a Sylvia Brown fortune-telling kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the tea leaves are pretty easy to read on that show.
Now, Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick on the show, apparently did a Rolling Stone interview, and he said... that 27 people are going to die in the season finale.
Mm.
Now, he just pulled that number out of the hat,
right.
Sure, but it's tantalizing, and people are going crazy trying to figure out who the 27 people are.
It's all the red shirts. It's
got to be.
Yeah, it's all the Woodbury red shirts.
Right.
Yeah, of course, they're going to war. They're going to have to setting up for this big battle, which, if it doesn't happen, will be a disappointment. So, of course, you know, how many did Merle kill last week? Mm. You know, 7 or 8 people gone already. So, yeah. I just want to take a second. I did a great interview for our friends over at the Exorcast, which is a very good horror, what'd you call it?
Podcast.
Yeah, podcast. They're not on a station like Jackalope, so I don't know. You know, I call ours a show, although I guess we're a podcast too, right? I don't know.
Todd's explained this to us so many times.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear it again. Yeah. But episode 53, which is the current episode, I did about an hour interview with the great guys at Exorcast. That's EXORCAST.com. Very easy to get to. And we talk about VHS. We talk about distribution. We talk about the state of the world. You know, talk about Insane Clown Posse, all kinds of stuff. We had a really great time. In fact, we did the interview, and I think it ran, you know, then we start talking after the interview for like 40 minutes. So really great guys. We hope to have them on this show. We hope to go back on that show. Just wanted to give that little plug there.
And where do you find this podcast?
Exorcast.com. Exorcast.
It's like Exorcist, only
it's like Exorcist, but it's Exorcast. Right. Get it? Get it.
I get it. Great. Well, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, so you can check that out. Now, a couple weeks ago, I gave you a DVD to review. We're going to get back to DVD reviewing. Let's talk about that because our Walking Dead guest might call in.
Well, while we're waiting for, I've been so busy this last 2 weeks.
You're so, are you kidding
down,
me?
Nailing down this guest that was, that,
oh, God. You know, are you bailing on the review? I gave you the movie.
I'm postponing the review.
The modern black spot. You can't do that. You got to review it.
All right,
today,
okay,
today
here we
go. You're gonna review it. Now, wait. The modern blaxploitation film, the urban comedy, as they say in the business, Pawn Shop. Starring Garrett Morris.
I'll review
from Saturday Night Live, the original cast.
I'll review it without seeing a frame of it, and I'll bet I'm spot on.
There we go. Let's hear it. Yeah. Now, did you watch the trailer?
No, I don't know. You don't need
did
to
you
do
read
that.
The back of the box?
I tried to.
Okay, well, then you are qualified to give a podcast review of a movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
feel free to start your own blog, too.
Okay. Yeah. Can I do that right now while we're talking? Can I type?
I don't know what you can do, except give me this review right now.
Well, Pawn Shop presumably is a spinoff of The Barbershop, wildly successful urban comedy series, Barbershop.
Is it really? Barbershop 1 and 2.
Yeah.
This
takes place in a pawn shop, not a barbershop, technically. Right.
But then how is it it is a spinoff? You know this?
It's presumably a spinoff. We'll put it that way.
So you're saying they're hoping you think it's a spinoff.
To be confused with Barbershop.
Okay, exactly. But then there's also stuff. There's all these shows on television about pawn shops, and pawn shops are very popular right now in culture. Because I think because our economy stinks, I think people like that option of being able to pawn things or sell their items for cash. Right? Is it playing on that?
I guess so. I guess so. Yeah. You know, I where I grew up, we had pawn shops. I don't know if it's. I grew up in the Midwest.
Okay,
and that was a very.
Didn't you have swap meets out there too? What we call flea markets here on the East Coast?
Possibly. I don't. More like yard sales. I mean, rummage sales, we call them.
Rummage sales. Rummage right, sales. Right. Did you ever have Chinese auctions?
No.
Okay. Never had a Chinese
I think slavery
auction.
Had ended by the time I.
Now they call it political correctness. Now they call it a tricky tray.
Tricky tray.
Which, if you know that it used to be called a Chinese auction, is even more offensive than calling it a Chinese auction.
And what happens in a Chinese auction?
A Chinese auction is when you walk into a room, it's usually like a VFW or a church hall or something, and there's items on the table. All over, you know, might be 10 tables full of blenders, televisions, blah, blah, blah. So the organization has gone out and bought these things. Then what you do is you buy a roll of tickets with a number on it. And you walk around, you see an item you like, you put your number in the basket, but so have 20 other people. You know what I mean? Everybody puts their tickets in whatever they want to get. So if you have 20 tickets and there's only one item you want, to put all 20 tickets in that one thing, and you might have, and then they draw it at the end, and it's, you know, you win that item if your number's called.
Now, why is that a Chinese auction?
Well, it's like what they would call, I guess, you know, if you were traveling in more upper class levels, they might call that a silent auction or something, right? Like some kind of, you know, that I remember them growing up as Chinese auctions. Okay. That's what they would call it. But now it's called a tricky tray.
Tricky tray.
I don't know why. But I guess the Chinese are tricky.
They're very
so
tricky.
So they call it a tricky tray now. Yeah. Yeah. Tricky tray just sounds more Asian than Chinese auction, doesn't it? It almost sounds like chinky tray.
Yeah.
Not to offend anyone, including you, Mr. Ree.
But I'm just saying
it sounds like a negative word.
It sounds like a Chunking frozen dinner.
Yeah. Put your tricky tray in the microwave for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And out it comes.
Yeah.
You know, the trick is getting it all down. That's the trick. But let's get back to your movie review.
Oh, yes.
Pawn Shop.
Stars Garrett Morris, as you mentioned.
Garrett Morris.
Original, not ready for primetime players.
Is he ready for primetime yet?
Not yet.
Well, not yet. He's been in primetime. He was on Martin, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about Garrett Morris is he doesn't seem to have learned a thing about performing in the 40 years since his life, television days. Not a thing. Like, you know, The Facts of Life. Did you ever watch The Facts of Life?
Yeah, sure.
Started out, the girls were young, and it went up 10 years or something. It went on.
Yeah.
And you watch a show from the end of the season, the run, and these girls don't have the slightest iota of more professionalism than they had when they were.
They're just as talented as when they started.
Exactly.
Whether that's good or bad, they're still at the same level.
Same level. How does that? I don't.
So you think Garrett Morris just hasn't matured as an actor one bit since Not Ready for Primetime Players?
He still has a very strange delivery.
Yeah.
Very odd accents on the wrong words.
Okay.
Sometimes the wrong syllables.
Okay.
He starts by shouting.
Right.
Lines. I'm not going to go into Garrett. I love Garrett Morris. Don't get me wrong.
But now you
don't
love
get
him.
Me wrong.
But does he shout in Pawn Shop?
He does. He shouts. Yeah. We assume. He shouts.
Get out of my pawn shop. He's kind of like the Red Fox, Fred Sanford character.
Then, yeah.
And then in the pawn shop, and I probably know more about the movie than you do, is that, you know, his son runs it with him. So it is like a Sanford and Son type situation. Though it's not a junk shop, it's a pawn shop.
Mm.
And then, of course, you know, there's drug dealer gets involved, and where's my this, and where's my chain, and, you know, we're looking for all this stuff.
Hilarity ensues.
Now, I liked Garrett Morris in The Stuff.
The Stuff.
Larry Collins
right.
movie.
Right. Eric Bogosian is also in
there. Eric Bogosian.
Very brief cameo.
And I mean, Garrett Morris, that's a great death scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you didn't like him in this picture.
No, I didn't say that, did I?
Kind of. You're kind of panning the film. I just want to know why.
I haven't really offered an opinion yet. I mean, I'm sort of describing it.
Okay.
Anything else.
All right, now what else happens? So what is the actual plot? Like, Garrett Morris owns a pawn shop with his son.
Right.
I've given you that much.
Right.
What happens, like, when they open the doors? Like, how does it, you know?
Well, you know, the son is kind of from a different generation. You know, he's
okay.
Kind of different ideas about how to run a pawn shop.
Different than the father.
Different than the father,
okay.
Who's kind of old school.
Okay, he's old school.
Old
like
school.
A Red Fox.
Yeah, Red Fox, you know. He likes things done a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then along comes these hip-hop with their gang-banging, boom-boxing.
Okay, all right.
Guys, and hilarity ensues. It's a clash of cultures. It's a clash of generations. I'm sure anyone can find some.
Come on.
The heck was that?
What was that? Did he let a monkey loose in the studio?
There's a monkey in the studio.
Todd's probably editing his movie as we're doing. Putting him to sleep. What was that, Todd, by the way?
That was a render in progress.
Okay, don't interrupt my show ever again, dude.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Thank you. So, because we're in the middle of this really intense kind of all-revealing review of Pawn Shop with Garrett Morris, what is it, like, you know, if you had to give me an A through B, you know, an A through Z, point A to point B, what happens in the film? Like, what is the actual mechanics of the film?
Right. Well, it's a journey, really.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah,
is it like the hero's journey? Kind of like a Joseph Campbell kind of thing? Uh-huh. Or is it more of a comedic hero's journey, like a Candide?
Ah, I don't know who Candide is.
Okay,
But, you know, it's Sister Act plus Sister Act 2. Okay. If you can picture the two, like, colliding.
But I thought it was, like, Barbershop 1 and 2.
True.
Okay.
Point taken. So it's like Sister Act plus Sister Act 2 plus Barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Plus
Part 1.
1. Right. Minus Barbershop 2.
Okay.
If you're still doing the math.
Okay.
Plus the last 5 minutes of Truck Turner.
Okay.
All right.
Divided
by Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs?
Yeah.
Snow Dogs?
Snow Dogs. Cuba Gooding Jr.? Sure.
Really?
That's kind of how I looked at it, yeah.
And Garrett Morris is in this.
In Garrett Morris, yeah. Now, Garrett, I know Cuba Gooding won a Jr. won an Oscar. Did Garrett Morris ever win an Oscar?
I don't think yet.
Yet. Right.
I don't think so.
He'll get the Lifetime Achievement one, like they gave, you know, Pacino, right?
Yeah. He'll eventually get something.
Right.
You know, that if he keeps at it. He's got to keep at it, you know. He'll get to that point that you're saying he's not quite there yet.
Right.
You're saying that he needs a little more, just a little more. You know, he's almost there.
Yeah.
You know, what's it been, 40 years? You know, he'll get there.
Like that, yeah.
When you work at something that long, you're bound to succeed.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
Yeah. Actually, I think he has an Oscar, but it's a daytime Oscar. It's not.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
But, okay. Yeah, it's pretty close.
This might get him a Razzie.
Ooh.
You know, we don't know. I don't know if it played theatrically. I don't know the story with this movie.
Is that the rule? Razzie has to.
I have no idea. No, I think it could be. Mm. You know, they usually give Razzies to the bigger bombs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, the Razzies used to be a lot more interesting. I think.
Yeah.
Now
they're trying to compete.
Trying to compete
with the Oscars. Like, oh, we gave Lindsay Lohan a Razzie. Wow, that's, you know.
Yeah, very unexpected. The Twilight movies.
Yeah.
Ooh, unexpected.
Oh, God, you know, how out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Hmm. Speaking of, well, your review stinks.
Thank you.
First of all, your review stinks. I want you to rewatch the movie for next time, if we don't have your Phantom Walking Dead guest next time. The next time we sit down together without a guest, I want a full review. And on top, I'm going to punish you by giving you a second film to review. So two reviews for Mr. Ree. I got three emails over the last couple months saying we missed the reviews of Mr. Ree. You were used to give sometimes an hour-long review of something.
I did, yeah.
So now we want to get back to it. Now your next film is called Sex Squatch.
Sex Squatch.
Yay.
The Legend of Blood Stool Creek.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So it's Sex Squatch. It is an actual film put out by Sub Rosa Studios, and anyone familiar with them knows what Mr. Ree's in store for.
Oh, yes.
And the tagline for this one is, "It's true what they say about big feet."
Hmm.
They really, really reached for that
one.
But yeah, that's it. So, you know, I'm not going to read the description here, but you can imagine. It's called Sex Squatch.
Well, you know me, I'll watch anything Bigfoot. I will watch anything Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, I thought this would fit perfectly. Mm-hmm. This would force you to review a film. And also, I won't let you talk about this film unless you come back with an honest-to-goodness review of Pawn Shop, because you might have tricked the listeners, but you didn't trick me with that kind of roundabout, kind of let me review the box art review that you gave me.
Yeah, you know
fail.
You know me too well.
Fail for Mr. Ree.
Epic fail.
Now, speaking of epic Razzie fails, this inappropriate comedy movie, did you guys play that in New York?
Which movie is that?
It's called The Inappropriate Comedy Movie. Have you seen the trailers for this?
No. It's not Movie 43. That's something different.
I think that's like in the same category. But no, do you remember the underground comedy movie?
I do. I remember that.
Okay. The same guy was making a sequel to that, and it kind of turned into The Inappropriate Comedy Movie, which, you know, Rob Schneider's in it, and what's his name? The A-list star in that is the pianist. Who's that guy?
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody's the star of this thing. And it looks dreadful, but it looks like there might be one or two good bits in it. Lindsay Lohan's in it. Hmm. It's apparently a record bomb. It has come out and it's made like $600, $700.
Wow.
And it's been written up in the trades and everything. It's an epic bomb.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out that the ShamWow guy is the director. Do you know who that guy
is? The ShamWow guy, no.
You know the ShamWow guy, sure. And the Chop Chop guy? He directed the both no, pictures. He's a comedian.
It was Billy May. But
no, it's a competitor of Billy May. Okay. Billy May used to accuse this guy of ripping him off and stealing his ideas.
Wow.
But this is a guy, I forget what name he goes by. He has a weird name. He has a real name, like Shlomo or something. But
like ShamWow.
Yeah, it is like his name is like ShamWow, but his real name is like, let me look it up. How do you like that? I don't know how I forgot that. If only we had a computer. But anyway, so I guess it played theatrically.
Huh. I don't know where it played.
No. But it apparently, in all the theaters it was in, it totally tanked.
Hmm.
Here we go. Oh, yes. Yes. Directed by... Where is it? Vince Offer. That's his name.
It's Offer.
Vince Offer.
Sounds like a made-up name.
Well, it's like a name. It's a pitchman's name. Yeah. You know, it's a silly pitchman's name. But yeah, he fancies himself as a producer, and he's made this film. I mean, it just looks like it would have done very well had he just gone direct to video with it. But I guess he had to, put it into theaters. Mm. Now, the box office that is showing here is $172,000. So depending on how much it costs them to make the thing, I guess that's where they're showing his $625 profit. I guess. I don't know where this is coming from.
You said it was $625 was the box office. Was that the...
I had read, but then if you look it up and you look at the box office, it claims to be $172,000 is the box office. But I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. Probably a contractual obligation. When people like Adrian Brody...
Right,
not so much Rob Schneider, but...
not so much Rob Schneider.
But Adrian Brody signs a contract to do a movie. It's in the contract that it has to play theatrically.
It has to play theatrically, yeah. This way their careers don't get tanked in direct-to-video stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could four-wall it in...
Right, which is what happens
theater.
All the time.
Happens all the time. Now, you've worked in theaters for a long time, and you know that. These companies come and they rent the theater for a night.
Mm-hmm.
They play the movie. No one shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe... Two people show up. They don't advertise it, but it actually fulfills that obligation.
Right.
That's just one screening, or does that have to play for a week?
It's probably whatever's in the contract.
So as Adrian Brody, I could say, I'll do your movie, but it has to play in theaters for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to play in five cities for a week. You could say that, too.
Right. I think it's usually New York and L.A. I think
it has to play in New York and L.A. But if you do the week run, you'll get critics to show up and review it.
Right. Although they don't really want reviews. Like for something like this, they probably didn't send out screeners. They didn't have screenings.
They don't want reviews.
No.
Yeah.
No. Couldn't. They don't care. I mean, it's part of the budget. The rental of the theater is just part of the budget.
I see. So that's built in to the budget of the movie. That makes sense. It's to me in this day and age to be obsessed over theatrical. And I know a lot of filmmakers still are, and even independent filmmakers often ask me, like, oh, can we get play in theater? I mean, it's absurd for indie films to even bother anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's no venues left that are true independent venues. And also the costs. You will never make the money back unless you have the advertising budget to bring butts in the seats.
Right.
You'll never do it. You know, putting it on Facebook's not going to get people to show up in 10 cities.
Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. I deal with distributors and filmmakers all the time, and some... Some know what they're doing, and some
they think just
Facebook is enough.
Yeah, Facebook's enough, or tweeting about it, or just the fact that it's there. Oh, and the name's on the marquee, people will just walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they have choices. Now, 30 years ago, maybe they didn't have a choice. They were looking for something to do, nothing on TV, go take a walk. But now, they can watch any Hollywood movie they want. On their device, they don't need you. They don't need your movie, as good as it is. They don't need your movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
And even if they do, if they're interested in seeing that, when they pass the poster in a theater, they'll say, I can't wait till that comes out on video.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more like an advertisement for it.
Yeah, it really is. And what we would do, if we do any theatrical with something, it's really put in the category of marketing expense. It's not put as a a line item that generates money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always put in the loss category as a marketing expense. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a, it's a really cool thing to do, and there's nothing like being in a theater and watching a movie, but it's really just for that, just to help push it, to tell, you know, so people know. I think people also think if your film is in a theater, that is somehow more legitimate. Oh, it played in a theater. Sure. Oh, you had a weak run. Oh, you got reviewed. Oh, even if nobody shows up, the fact that it's done that gives the movie legitimacy. Mm-hmm. And you can use that in your selling of it on VOD and DVD. You would say in your sales sheets and everything, you know, 5-city theatrical run. Just put that in there. Mm-hmm. You know, do not tell numbers or anything. But the fact that it did lets buyers know, who these people work for stores, it lets them know that people know about your movie and they're going to buy it when they walk into my store. Because that's really what it comes down to. You can have the best movie in the world, but if people, you know, are people going to buy this? So the more you can say, yeah, sure, played in theaters in New York. Oh, okay, and then people must know about it. Perception. Mm-hmm. Perception.
And then reviews too. The New York Times review is just,
yeah,
is that there are people, I don't know if they're mostly older people, but there are people who will not see a movie unless it's reviewed in the Times. That's just, that's their,
sure,
their litmus test.
Sure.
And then it doesn't even matter if it's a good review or a bad review. I mean, good is obviously better than bad,
but right,
just the fact that it was reviewed gives, right, a legitimacy.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember when we had Blitzkrieg reviewed by the New York Times in,
exactly,
New York City,
exactly,
and they panned it. But yeah, let me tell you something. That's something to hang on the wall. You got a movie reviewed in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, people are going to look into what you're doing to some degree.
That was also one of the first times that I realized that reviewers just make stuff up.
They make stuff up.
Just totally make stuff up.
Make stuff up.
I won't mention the name, but the New York Times reviewer did that on a couple of occasions. And I think that I mentioned once before about this 9/11 movie that I played, yeah, called, yeah, The Reflecting Pool. He completely made up the lead.
Yeah,
the lead,
that it was like some kind of Jewish conspiracy.
Yeah.
But, and I've seen that film. There's nothing about Jewish conspiracy in the
they
movie.
Don't even.
Well, that's like somewhere, you know, I'll read a review of the movie. You know, of one of our movies, like Blitzkrieg, I'll read a review that says, oh, girls have a fight with sledgehammers. There's not one sledgehammer in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody reviewed it and said, oh, girls, you know, have a sledgehammer fight. I'm like, I wish that person was around when the script was being written, because we would have put a sledgehammer fight,
yeah,
in there. That's pretty cool. Two naked girls fighting with sledgehammers.
Sure. That happened with Blitzkrieg, I believe. I think in his review,
yeah,
there's a mention of something that doesn't happen in the movie.
Right. There is. And there's also, I love he starts the interview with, like, first off, let's get this out of the way, do not go see Blitzkrieg. And I'm like, you don't understand, when the New York Times tells a exploitation film, do not go see this, the New York Times, that's the cover.
Yeah.
You know, just like we had Box Office Magazine reviewed Blitzkrieg, and he had, the reviewer had said something like, you know, one of the most misogynistic films I've ever seen. I'm like, this guy's right. I hired this guy to write ad copy for us.
Yeah.
Man. Amazing. You know how many copies we sold because he said that?
Yeah.
You know, and it was almost like he was pissed off he had to watch it. I'm like, thank you for the sales.
And
to this day.
Yeah. And a real savvy reviewer will, if
will
they're
avoid
really panning,
that.
They'll avoid anything you can use.
They avoid that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they're smart enough to know, oh, this is like a culty exploitation movie, which I think is garbage, they'll say, then I'm going to word it around. The New York Times guy was pretty slick, because there wasn't much that he could, you know, I could take his words and paraphrase them, and I could put, do not see this movie,
right,
New York Times.
Right.
You know, like that's what I did. You know, but there was nothing else in his review that I could use, like that misogynistic or, you know, the actual quote from boxoffice.com was 2 hours of nonstop misogyny. First of all, it's not.
It's longer. It's more than 2 hours.
It's more than 2 hours. Yeah, first of all. But it's not 2 hours of misogyny. You know,
yeah,
there's certain scenes in the film. But, you know,
yeah,
if the film was 2 hours of nonstop misogyny, it might have made $1 million. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it would have done even better than it did. But anyway, I don't know how we got on this. Now, what
well, about the other thing, but speaking of reviews, Sam Raimi's new Oz movie, Oz the Great and Powerful,
yes,
which I enjoyed, quite a bit. The Daily News, the New York Daily News reviewer,
mm-hmm,
Elizabeth Weitzman is her name,
mm-hmm,
gave it 0 stars. Now, how do you give anything 0 stars? That means it has absolutely no redeeming value whatsoever, right? Zero?
Not even the colors or, right. or the music right. or anything. Well, that sounds like a Vendetta review.
Exactly.
Yeah. It sounds like some, you know, these things happen where maybe she wanted to go see something else by the company and they cut her out of getting a ticket or something. You know, these things happen.
Mm-hmm. And she probably doesn't have children. She probably sat in a screening room by herself. She had a deadline. Who knows what else was going on in her mind? And she wrote, I mean, I don't think you need, you have to see a movie with an audience in order to appreciate it, but there are some movies that, you know, I went to a theater in Brooklyn, saw it in 3D with my kids, had a blast. And, you know, the first 20, 25 minutes of the movie's in black and white, which is great. Nobody squawked. You know, I expected to hear something from people. Nobody squawked. Very respectful audience. Movie's over 2 hours. There were little kids. Didn't say a word. They loved it. They seemed to enjoy it. The 3D is beautiful. You know,
maybe that was it. Maybe this reviewer guy, you know, I've been in these screening rooms because when I started out early on, I was doing reviews films for a couple small papers in New York. And send you to your screening rooms, they're like the size of a closet, you know, and it's three guys, you're in there with three other guys, and they're showing this thing on the side, you know, it's like a flat screen size sometimes. So maybe the scope of the film wasn't, you know, maybe this reviewer didn't get to feel the whole scope of the film.
Yeah.
Or maybe the reviewer doesn't like Sam Raimi or doesn't like, you know, Franco or doesn't like Disney movies or whatever, you know, whatever, or just scared of the monkeys when she was a kid when she saw Wizard of Oz. I don't know. It could be a million. That's the problem with critics, is that so few are actually trained into how to separate all that crap and get the emotions out. Get the emotions out and look at something as an actual just standalone piece of something. I think critics have been kind of trained into this kind of snarky, emotional, you know, ironic type stuff that they just don't, you know, there is really no critical training anymore.
It's also, there's also this, people just repeat things as fact that
are in other reviews.
Or in other reviews. Yeah. So, like, for instance, James Franco, like him or not, and he took a little getting used to in this movie, but I eventually did get used to him, and I thought he did a fine job. But, you know, a few years ago, he hosted the Academy Awards, and it was a failure. Okay, people who didn't see it even say, "Oh, well, James Franco hosting the Oscars was the worst thing." So that's always going to be a part of the reviews.
Right.
It's just that's stuck there, whether it's true or not.
Right.
I've never heard a dissenting opinion, and frankly, I didn't think he and Anne Hathaway were much worse than Seth MacFarlane or anybody else who hosts. I mean, it's always about
the same. It's a crappy gig. It doesn't matter who does it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, or Letterman. Letterman, the people say, "Oh, Letterman was a terrible Oscar
host." Bomb. Yeah,
but anyway, you know, if you look at his performance against somebody else, it's about the same,
right?
So,
and I didn't think Billy Crystal was all that either. I remember there was such a big deal about him. She's too schmaltzy and, you know, appealing to, like, you know, senior citizens. I just didn't find him appealing at all. At least they're trying to inject some youth into it.
Yeah, I guess I don't know who would be a good choice now. Johnny Carson, I think, was the best. Carson and Bob Hope were like,
I would have liked to have seen Eddie Murphy actually do it and see what, you know, and see what he could do with it, you know. But I, you know, we could talk all night about it. Do you want to talk about Jim Carrey instead?
Jim Carrey, I saw
his new video.
I saw Jim Carrey put out it's Funny or Die, right?
FunnyorDie.com.
And it's an anti-gun parody song.
God.
Kind of deal. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, I saw on Facebook today that some guy is going to auction off his signed Jim Carrey photo, like an autographed 8x10 photo.
Okay.
He's going to auction it off on eBay and use the money that he gets
to buy a gun.
To protect his family. That's how he said it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, in the first place, how many guns can you buy for $50?
Yeah,
right.
Well, it depends where you buy them.
Gary,
if you go to downtown Detroit, you can get one.
And but more importantly, what the hell are his family doing right now while he's waiting for the check to clear in his PayPal account? Right. If he needs a gun to protect his family, there's probably something.
Well, he's going to have to use his hands or a knife until he gets that gun.
But what, you know,
Yeah, but you know what? I think let's backstep to this. Forget it. I don't want to have a gun debate with you, but I think Jim Carrey, you know, while he's done some really good stuff, and I don't dislike him at all, I think this is a foolish, clearly a cry for attention from a man whose career is in the toilet bowl, basically. I just found it to be so. I mean, the it was like a hee-haw kind of thing, and then he's playing Charlton Heston. That man's been dead for 10 years. Leave him alone. You know, it's just so stupid. Like, who cares?
Well, I think the reason that Heston's in there is because the song is called. And I haven't seen the video, but
yeah,
the description,
it's corny.
It's called "Cold Dead Hands."
Yeah, I know, but let it go. Yeah, but I mean, that was 10 years or 15 years ago already. Who cares? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't come up with anything better than that.
I don't know.
I think it's just silly. I think, you know, and here's a guy who's got Kick-Ass 2 coming out in a couple months, which, if you've seen the trailers for that, he plays like a military, I forget the character's name from the comic books, but he plays this, you know, killer slicing people up, cursing, and the kids are cursing and that. They all have weapons, kids killing each other and cursing. And you're going to go do that movie, and then you're going to get on your high horse about this. I'm not feeling the preaching from the liberal pulpit on this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you know? I'm not saying there's nothing that can be done or guns are bad. I don't want to get into that debate. I'm just saying that I find Jim Carrey telling people what to do a little bit hypocritical when you watch The Mask and he's got the huge guns in your face, and it just seems like it's okay when we do it. Where he tweeted the other day, his bodyguard talking about the gun that his bodyguard has and blah, blah, blah. So that's okay. You walk around with a guy with a gun, but tell people they can't have guns, you know?
Well, this is... I don't want to get into this.
No, we are getting into it.
We are a little bit, but I think that, to me, is what is the crux of what is wrong with the debate, because the debate isn't... Most people... I consider myself a gun control... I'm in favor of gun control. Nobody wants to take guns away from people.
Let's not get into this. No, we don't have enough time left.
But so it isn't. It isn't.
It is, though.
A star saying it's okay if I do it, but not if you do it.
But it is.
They're saying,
what is he saying then? Tell me what he says in that video.
He's making fun of
you know, Missouri and, you know, Nebraska. He's making fun of that. He's making fun of America. Making fun of 80% of America. He's making fun of.
Well, I think he's making fun of gun enthusiasts, and I don't think gun owners are necessarily gun enthusiasts. I mean, the people who I see memes from all the time on Facebook that are just crazy. Just, a government's coming to take our guns away.
Yeah,
that's who
he's
making fun of. Those aren't gun owners. My dad was a gun owner. My dad was a gun collector, and he wasn't like that. Okay, I mean, I think people want to see the debate as two sides, and
I don't know what it is. Yeah, no, regardless, even if he's saying let's get assault rifles off the streets and you know stuff that I agree with, let's tone things down, it's still he is telling you to do something, but then acting a different way on screen and purport, you know, putting out films that are violent and filled with guns and blah blah. So practice what you preach. If you don't want, you know, if you want gun control, then use yourself as an example. Make the sacrifice of less money, and don't, you know, put out. If you put out a statement, I'll never do another movie with a gun in it. If there's a gun in that movie, I'm not doing it. He'd be on press all. He'd get more press than he ever got. But he's a coward. He won't do that. He would never put his own, you know, cultural standing or his monetary. He won't put his money where his mouth is. But he'll go on there and then make poke fun at hillbillies and guys with shotguns in their trucks, and that's fine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought our guest
was going to call in and interview our guest.
Here we go. Carrie's not exactly an action film star or a gun star.
He's been in action films.
Well, I mean, if Bruce Willis was doing this, I might agree with you. But Jim Carrey, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even realize he was in Kick-Ass 2, to be honest.
Yeah, go look at the trailer. Look at the trailer.
Yeah, I love Kick-Ass. I think... I can't wait to see Kick-Ass 2. I don't know. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan, but I'm starting to like him. Anyway. Hey, Todd, how are we doing? You have any calls?
No, but it looks like we do have a call. Looks like we do have a call coming in right
now.
That was
our guest. That's our guest. That's you take over, Mr.
I'm going to take over. Oh. Hello, welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Hello.
Better hurry, guys.
Hello. Hello, welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Oh, Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Are you our mystery guest? I'm not going to name your name, sir.
Yes, I was told to call this number and tell you what I know.
Ah, beautiful. So, folks, this is indeed our mystery Walking Dead cast guest. Cast member? Guest? Can you, without revealing your identity, can you tell us what kind of character you play on the show?
I have to disguise my voice because I could get in big trouble.
Okay, so go ahead and disguise your voice.
I am disguising my voice.
Oh, you already are. I'm sorry. Beg your pardon.
That's
so,
okay.
Now, okay, so everybody, okay, there's one more show for for season three. Everybody wants to know what the heck's going to happen. Can you probably know what's going to happen. Can you tell us?
I overheard some things, and I also got scripts. I took scripts when I wasn't supposed to, and I got information even, and I got season four scripts, too.
Season four? Oh, my God. Now, so what can you reveal without...
Everybody dies.
Yeah,
at
okay.
The end of the show coming up, everybody gets killed except Daryl.
Except Daryl.
Yeah. They see what they were trying. What they're trying to do is give Daryl his own show. They want to, you know, Daryl versus the dead. They want to do this whole thing where Daryl is the star. They want to get rid of Rick is dead. Daryl becomes the leader, and then there's all new people. And there's a lot of African Americans.
Well, I can't believe I'm hearing this. It's crazy. So you're saying that Rick the series hero dies?
That him, the governor, and Rick kill each other at the same time. They have like a death match. Everybody's watching them.
I can't believe. Now we probably should have warned people, our listeners here, that these are major spoilers. So if you don't want The Walking Dead Season 3 or Season 4 spoiled for you, well, too bad, because you just had it. But please, go do something else for the next 5 minutes. We're going to keep with the spoilers here. Is there anything else you can...
In season 4, Herschel lives. Herschel. He loses his other leg in Season 4 to cancer, and they have to cut it off.
Cancer? Wow.
And
okay,
they put him in a wheelchair with like shotguns on the sides and throwing stars, and he becomes like a wheelchair ninja type guy. And then Daryl's the leader, but he doesn't use the bow and arrows anymore.
Wow, this is crazy.
Something happens one time in the opening of season four, his bow jams. And then he swears off the bow and arrows for the rest of the season, and he switches to just fighting hand to hand with the zombies with his fingernails and his fists.
Now what about the children? Please tell me the baby's okay. The baby and Carl.
No, the little boy is killed at the end of this season. That's coming up. He's killed. The governor kills him and puts him in the cage. He puts a wig on him, like a long girl's wig, and puts him in the cage where his daughter was and starts calling him by the daughter's name. Okay? And then, that I don't want to give away too much, but that's what happens. And he even rips off a little piece of his head in the back so it looks like the zombie daughter that he had.
Wow.
Now the little baby in season makes it through the end of the season, but in season four the baby gets bit and turned into a zombie. But they lock it in a car, and they spend I think it might be four episodes talking about what they're going to do to the baby to deal with it, because it's a zombie now inside the car and it's trying to drive the car and everything, and it's really crazy.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing. This is incredible. So now, what about hookups? Because we have Glenn and we have Maggie. Now
they're dead. They die at the end. They die this week on Sunday. They reach out. They're laying on the ground with their bullets and because Glenn gets bit and he gets bit and then he gets shot and accidentally one of Daryl's arrows goes in him too. But he's dead. But they touch fingers, as they're dying, laying next to each other, they touch each other's hands.
Wow, that's That's pretty emotional. And
I can't tell you anymore. I gotta go. I'm sorry.
Well, that's, you know, you have.
I thank you for the money, and I'm sorry.
Wow. And well, that's it, I guess. Okay. Well, there you have it. Major spoilers for season 3 and for season 4 of ridiculous. The Walking Dead.
Are you finished? This is ridiculous.
You don't buy it?
Yeah, do I buy it? Do I buy it?
Well,
do I buy it?
We'll have to see. I mean,
oh, do you buy it? Yeah, crazy, ninja, yeah. Ninja chairs and things. You get lost. Well, I it was so hard for me not to. I'm sitting here like on the floor laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you? You didn't chime in once during that entire interview.
Because I just felt like you needed to redeem yourself from the Walking Dead guest that we didn't have.
Mm. Well, if you think we did, send us an email.
Yeah, movieshateyou@gmail.com.
That's right. movieshateyou@gmail.com.
Redeem ourselves with that?
Well, I don't know.
See, I feel I was a little tricked. Because the person that responded to my Craigslist ad sounded like they knew what was going on and told me different things than what was said here tonight.
Hmm.
So I think I was put on.
Put on?
Yeah. Is Craigslist shady? Is that like,
you know? No, you can get... Yeah, I had some... Yeah. No.
No? It's not shady.
It's not shady at all, no.
So, like, you know, I put it on Craigslist LA, and I said, anybody, you know, Walking Dead? And this person said they were one of the, like, Woodbury people.
Oh, well.
But wouldn't tell me which one. I said, which one? They said, one in the flannel shirt. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So, and then they said they were a zombie in another episode, but a different person. Like, they needed an extra zombie to fill in something.
Uh-huh.
Like, fill in space, and they were hanging around. So,
well,
they sounded legit on the email, but I don't think that was legit.
No, those are the kind of details that you just couldn't make up. I mean, how would you make up?
The baby's dead, and first this clown says everybody's dead, right? And then everybody's all of a sudden there's people who made it to season 4, so everybody dies, right? You started the whole thing out with everybody's dead, everybody dies, and then you go into, oh, it's season 4, Herschel's now a ninja or something. Ridiculous.
You think I'm gold?
And it's Daryl's show now. Rick's gone. Forget the comic books.
I'm fine.
Rick's gone.
Yeah. All right. Well,
if that stuff happens,
you'll be eating crow on this show.
I'll be eating crow next week. Yeah. When you bring a real Walking Dead guest in here, we will see.
Right.
And then I will eat crow. You produce a real Walking Dead guest, and this won't happen again.
For reals, next week.
Yeah.
For real. Live Walking Dead cast member.
Not a
Woodbury.
Yeah, this was not. Would you call that a cast member? Clown who sat at the catering table and overheard something?
This is a person who's got a major speaking part.
They very well may be dead by the time
we don't know.
On the show,
as of right now, as of this second,
that's right.
On the show, they are alive.
The babies and the zombie baby trying to drive a car. I mean, really?
Well, maybe, I was thinking like a little car, like one of those little kid cars, not like a real car.
How do you lock a kid in a little baby car? Is it like a clown car? Like a, what is it, a smart car?
You clowns was out of time.
Oh, no. I guess it might
Todd, that was so stupid, Todd. That was fake. Come on, right?
It was terrible.
And why is he believing it? It's worse than like when Pete calls in pretending he's somebody.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's worse than the Muhammad calling it or something. All right. Well, listen, we have some fun. That's very nice. We'll see you next week with a live Walking Dead guest per Mr. Ree.
Oh, yes.
He will pay dearly if there is no producing of this person.
Oh, yes.
This has been the Movies Hate You Show. Rob, Lee, Todd, we're signing off. Thanks for listening. Get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. See you next time.
Stay scared.
Oh, God, that's so stupid.